book, The Secret of the Lord.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and for this next hour, they're going to be your views, because this is Open Line Wednesday, and our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, and we'll talk about whatever you'd like to talk about. And I thought maybe I'd just start out talking a little bit about this effort to utilize the tragedy that took place in there at Sandy Hook School in Newtown, Connecticut, and how they are simply playing on the emotions of the American people to get them to be going along. Oh, if you care about children, why you want to take the guns away from everybody in this country? If you really care about children and you want to protect the children, we've got to have guns taken away from people. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the ultimate hypocrisy. And certainly, if you want to protect certainly President Obama's children who go to a school there in Hawaii, in Washington, D.C., what you ought to do is take away all the guards and all the guns there and have a gun-free area around that school, and then suddenly it'd save an awful lot of money, and we know everything would be all right because we passed a law and we took away the guns and we said, you can't have a gun in that area. And everybody would say, that's ridiculous. Of course, we have to guard. We have to guard those children. There could be crazy people out there who'd want to hurt the president's daughters or kidnap the president's daughters. We have to protect them. And ladies and gentlemen, we have to protect children in every school in America. And you do that by having people there who actually have a weapon, a concealed weapon. I think that a suggestion by the NRA was made intentionally to sound ridiculous. Why? Because, of course, it would cost $15 or $20 billion to have armed guards at every school in America, and that's not what we need. If the armed guard was there, it'd be an easy target. If somebody wanted to come in, the first person they'd kill would be the armed guard. What you want to do is have people with concealed weapons, whether they'd be administrators, the principal, the teachers, and certainly this is what they did in Israel when they were having a number of attacks on their schools over there. They went in, they actually taught the teachers, anybody who wanted to come in, the use of weapons, and they could carry concealed weapons. They certainly did not take the weapons away from the teachers. They allowed them to have weapons to protect the children. It wasn't until 1995 they actually put armed guards in the schools. And I think that may be overkill. I think the important thing that you want is to have somebody there with a gun to protect the children. A good person with a gun can also always take out a bad person with a gun. And 3 days before the shooting, I said at Sandy Hook, there was an incident in Oregon where, of course, a fellow had gone into a mall up there and had his gun out. He killed two people. He wounded one. Then the gun jammed. And another fellow was there with a concealed weapon, and of course he ran to that area, he pulled out his gun, he was ready to shoot, he did not shoot. But when the man saw him standing there with a gun, why the killer simply took a gun and killed himself. 2 days after Sandy Hook, of course, a similar thing happened in Arizona at a mall. And they simply shot that fellow before he could. I think he wounded a couple of people and a woman there, a police officer, off duty with a concealed weapon, and they just shot him in the legs. And guns save lives. But did you hear about that on television? Of course not. The media is controlled. They want to take away our weapons and disarm us. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY. I'd like to know what you think about, though, certainly the new legislation, this effort to disarm the American people. Dianne Feinstein, who herself carried a gun when she was in danger, wants to take away our guns. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
You may have heard about the 90 essential nutrients or the Mighty 90 needed for good health. But with all the products out there, what exactly are they talking about? The Mighty 90 is 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 60 plant-derived minerals, and 2 essential fatty acids. So, now you know. But with all the products you see and hear advertised, what exactly do you buy to come up with the Mighty 90 and the right ratios to promote good health? Youngevity has made it easy with the Healthy Start Pack, which contains one canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Vitamin and Plant-Derived Mineral Complex, one bottle of Bone and Joint Enriching OsteoFX Plus, and one bottle of EFA Plus Essential Fatty Acids, all in the proper ratios to promote good health and vitality. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295 here in the Central Coast of California. 464-8295, give us a call. We'll talk about whatever you want to because it's open lines. But basically, of course, how do you counter these arguments, these emotional arguments? Oh, if you want to protect the children, why, we've got to take the guns away from everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to protect the children, you want people to be armed, because when you have weapons, why, you have less violence than when you don't have weapons. You have more in the way of violence out there. And, of course, unfortunately, they've set up a situation here in the United States where they're actually doing everything they can to encourage violence. And if you haven't heard about Roger, the material that was done back at Dartmouth University, Roger Masters, Dr. Masters, who's a sociologist, who found out that in the areas where they fluoridate the water with hydrofluorosilicic acid, and they've done the largest study ever done in America on 450,000 children, where they checked the blood in the areas, they checked the blood of the children in those areas for blood, for lead, and they found out that if you fluoridated the water with hydrofluorosilicic acid, on the level of lead in the blood of white children doubled, of Hispanic children went up 4 times, of black children went up 6 times. And basically this creates a lead encephalopathy. And they have found, and by comparing certainly the incidence of black crime in areas where they have the fluoridated water with hydrofluorosilicic acid, comparing it with areas where they don't, massive increase in the crime. They're poisoning the blacks, and ladies and gentlemen, you can get this material on the internet. Roger Masters of Dartmouth, we've interviewed him, we have several interviews with him, we have his papers, they're available from Radio Liberty. You should be able to get them off the internet, but if not, we can get them from us. They're intentionally creating a situation where they're creating criminal activity among the blacks, which is why one in every young black man between the age of 21 and 31 is in prison, probation, or parole. They know exactly what they're doing because the people working behind the scenes have an intense hatred for blacks. But, of course, they will never admit that, and you're never going to hear this material. Again, that's Dr. Roger Masters of Dartmouth University and his studies, certainly, on the use of hydrofluorosilicic acid and what happens to the brains, at least what happens to the lead level and the blood of the children in those areas where they're fluoridating the water, knowing full well that they're going to create criminal activity among the black population. Then they point to the blacks and they say, oh, my goodness, we can't have them have weapons. You go into Washington, D.C. today, it has some of the most strict gun laws in the entire country. In fact, it has the most strict gun laws. It did until recently. It had the highest level of crime. And then you go right across the river over there to where Gun Owners of America has their offices, a community of about 1 million, and they have right to carry laws, and they have very, very, very low incidence of gun crime and violence there because the people are armed. And yes, there's a different population. And yes, I'm sure that there are many people in Washington, D.C., because the water is fluoridated and it's predominantly a black population, where we do see this incidence of lead encephalopathy. But of course, nobody is going to tell you about that. But we've still got to be able to live in this country. Certainly, they're giving our children video games. We've taken away the right concepts of right and wrong. We've created a number of children. Probably one in every 60 to 65 boys is autistic because of the vaccination and the mercury and the aluminum and the aspartame and the formaldehyde in the vaccines that is destroying their brains. One in every 60 to 65 boys in America today is autistic with an altered brain. And then, of course, so many of our children are on drugs today. Many of these drugs actually promote homicidal tendencies. We can't change all of these things overnight, but what we can do is protect our children and make sure that somebody in that school has a gun. And then, of course, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. It's Open Line Wednesday. We want to know what you think about this effort to disarm the American people. Now, what are the arguments that we can use to say we should have every American or as many Americans want to have a weapon? Well, ladies and gentlemen, if this country was ever invaded, why, of course, if our population was armed, we could defend ourselves. If our population isn't armed, we can't defend ourselves. And ladies and gentlemen, certainly we know that during the Second World War, both the Japanese and Germans talked about invading the United States, and both nations, the military advisors said, do not ever consider invading the United States because the American people are armed and we'd simply be opening basically a can of worms. We need weapons to protect ourselves in case our country is ever invaded. We need weapons to protect ourselves from a government that certainly has been taken over by people who hate America and want to establish a world government and want a dictatorship in this country. And I'm talking about people like Dianne Feinstein. I'm talking about people like Barack Hussein Obama, who has lied about everything, whether it's about his American citizenship, about the fact that he does not have a legal long-term birth certificate. He's lied about his Social Security number. He's lied about his draft card. Yet this is the man who is constantly lauded and applauded by our major media. Why? Because the major media is controlled by the Brotherhood of Darkness, and they've created the candidacy and the presidency of Barack Hussein Obama, who wants to disarm the American people. Our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Why do we need to keep our arms, first of all, if America is invaded? Secondly, to protect ourselves from the excesses of government, which one of these days is going to try to collect the weapons under one guise or another and establish a ruthless and tyrannical dictatorship in America, just as American corporations and American banks financed Adolf Hitler, who the first thing Hitler did when he came to power was to collect the guns from the people, and that it was only a short time from there to the concentration camps. And first of all, it was the mentally defective people, and those with physical disabilities, and then it was the Jews, and then it was the Christians. And of course, you've never read the book Warrant for Genocide, they never will tell you. There were 6 million Jews, but there were 12 million others. There were 12 million others. This is the beginning of that book, Warrant for Genocide, written by a Jewish professor. And he admits readily in the beginning of that, it wasn't just the 6 million Jews. It was the 12 million others who were executed by the Nazis. Why don't we ever talk about all the Christians who were killed there? For the same reason, we certainly don't talk about how time after time after time, guns save lives. Yeah, we never talk about that. Well, why do we need certainly guns in the United States? We need them to protect the children, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to protect the children in our schools, somebody has to be there with a weapon to protect those children, just as we need to have somebody in the malls to protect the people in case you get some crazy person out there, a victim, perhaps he has lead encephalopathy, that he got from water fluoridation, perhaps he has certainly... he's a psychopath. Maybe he's demonically possessed, but he wants to kill a lot of people. And what we need is somebody there with a gun to stop him. And if you have a person with guns, they will stop him. If not, he will be able to kill as many people as he wants to. And then what if a woman is going to be raped? How can she possibly defend herself against one or several rapists? If she has a gun, ladies and gentlemen, it's a whole different proposition. We need guns to protect ourselves. Guns protect human lives. And when you take away the guns, why, of course, you end up with genocide. We saw this with the Armenians. What did they do back at the turning of the last century? Why, of course, they disarmed the Armenians, and then they slaughtered about 1.2 to 1.5 million of them. We never talk about the Armenians and how they disarmed them, or how one of the first things the communists did when they came to power in Russia in 1918 was disarm the population. The thing that the Nazis did when they came to power, disarm the population. The thing that they did sitting in Rwanda, of course, where they disarmed the population. And then they slaughtered 800,000 defenseless Christians because they didn't have any weapons to defend themselves with. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we do not want gun registration in America. We don't want gun confiscation in America, and the people who advocate this do not understand that when they took the guns away from the people in Great Britain, and they passed terribly draconian laws, today England is one of the three most violent nations in the world. When they took the guns away from the people, the incidence of gun-related crime doubled. And if you didn't hear our interview today with Larry Pratt from Gun Owners of America, it should be certainly archived up there by tomorrow. Understand, ladies and gentlemen, when they took the guns away from the English people, the incidence of violent crime certainly went up dramatically. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, and I would like to talk about whatever you'd like to talk about. We don't have anything really prepared here. And so if you'd like to talk on this subject or any subject, give us a call. But remember, the reason we must never give up our weapons is we needed to defend America. There are people who hate America with its heritage of freedom. And now increasingly people throughout the world are coming to hate America because we're imposing tyrannical rule on them. We needed to defend ourselves against our leaders who really want a dictatorship in America. That's their ultimate plan and ultimate goal. Disarm the people so that you can begin herding them off into concentration camps. The camps are there. Certainly the coffins are there. Hundreds of thousands of coffins. Why would they, suddenly the emergency services have hundreds of thousands of coffins? Each one will carry four people. Go up and check it on the internet, suddenly. Jesse Ventura has done some programs on the coffins, on the camps they have here. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, Why are they setting up detention camps across America? Oh, certainly, why are they preparing hundreds of thousands of coffins? Each one will carry four bodies. Our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-2295. We'll talk about whatever you'd like to talk about. Give us a call right here at Radio Liberty.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Americans love pills. America's 40 million seniors will have consumed 1.6 trillion pills during their lifetime, not counting vitamin pills. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Americans are living longer an additional 18 years after they reach age 65. How will senior Americans spend that time? You've got it. Taking more and more pills to treat more and more disease. We need a better approach. How about a pill that promotes health rather than treats disease? That's where a pill I formulated comes in. It's called Longevinix, and it's a well-tested combination of herbs and vitamins proven to trigger genes activated by a limited-calorie diet, even mimicking physical exercise. Longevinix promotes healthy vision, heart pumping, immune response, blood clotting, and even mood. Call 1-866-405-4000 to order today. Healthy aging. Longevinix. Get started before you grow old. Call now. 1-866-405-4000.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Do you enjoy cooking? Would you like to learn the culinary secret that Barbara uses to enhance the flavor of Dr. Stan's food? Who's Barbara? She's Dr. Stan's wife. And what's her secret? She uses the delicious spices produced by Old Westport Spice and Trading Company. After using and enjoying their products for almost 20 years, Dr. Stan and Barbara decided they should offer their favorites to you. If you would like to please your family and enhance the flavor of your food, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. I suggest you call today. Once again, the telephone number is 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and of course, it's an open line, so give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. I'd like to hear from you. I'd like to know what you'd like to talk about. But right now, today, of course, they've come up with a solution. They've passed legislation, supposedly to keep us from going off the cliff. Ladies and gentlemen, this is all show business. We've already gone off the cliff. There's no way that there's any way back. And the only thing that's going to, of course, solve the financial problems of this country is when we go to war and suddenly they wipe out the middle class. We have a two-class society, the very rich, the elite, and then, of course, everybody else will be impoverished because they're going to destroy the value of our currency. It's not a matter of if, but when. Now, basically, of course, you hear today that they're going to raise the taxes, and initially, why, of course, Barack Obama wanted to raise the taxes on everybody who made over $200,000 to $250,000 a year, if you were a couple, and suddenly, with that, they would be able to raise a $1 trillion from $250,000 to get the millionaires to pay their taxes, and that was going to raise $1 trillion. But, ladies and gentlemen, it was going to raise $1 trillion over a 10-year period. Well, the program they've come up with now, where they're going to raise the taxes on everybody who makes over $400,000 or $450,000 a year, if a couple, is going to raise about $600 billion. But this is over a 10-year period. They're really talking about accumulating about $60 billion a year. And with a $1 trillion deficit, maybe even more than that, but a $1 trillion deficit that they will admit to, that is about 6% of the deficit. That's all they're going to get. And then, ladies and gentlemen, you have to understand that they're lying to us about what the yearly debt is. We are actually having, suddenly, 10,000 people retire every hour. 10,000 people retire every hour. And basically, of course, what this really means is that we have millions of people retiring every year. We have 79 million Americans who are going to be retiring over the next 18 years or so. These are the so-called baby boomers, and they're all eligible for Social Security, and they're all eligible for Medicare, and there's no way we can possibly afford that. And right, initially, when they set up Social Security, there was one person. Oh, they suddenly retired for every people, 50 people working. And pretty soon it was one person retired and there'd be 20 people working. And now there's one person retired and there's about 3 people working. Basically, right now, we have about 57 million people are suddenly getting Social Security. And before long, it's going to be probably 75 to 80 million people getting Social Security. Our entire workforce is only about 130 million people. And pretty soon, they're going to be suddenly a little over one person working. For every person retired, 1.5 people working. Where's the money coming from? Well, we have the Social Security Fund. Ladies and gentlemen, we have the Social Security Fund, but what's there in it? Treasury bills. Why? Because the politicians spent the money and invested in treasury bills. And so basically, of course, but then when you cash in those treasury bills, the treasury doesn't have any money. They simply have to go to the Fed. The Fed is actually creating money out of nothing. Right now, about $40 to $45 billion every month they're having to put out. They're just having to borrow it. 46 cents out of every dollar the federal government spends has to be borrowed. And this is a road to disaster. And other countries throughout the world know that. Other countries are setting up their own trade blocks. The Southeast Asian trade bloc, of course, it's going to include China and Japan and Malaysia and Indonesia and Australia and New Zealand. And they don't want American dollars because they know there's nothing behind them. And we're simply printing money and destroying the value. If they have dollars, they know they're losing value rapidly. That's why they're not buying American bonds except Japan. They have to buy because we have their troop station there. We control the government. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. The legislation that was passed yesterday will not solve anything. In fact, they put off doing any cuts in government spending for 2 months, but supposedly at that time they're going to do a little cutting in government spending, but the taxes are going to go up for everybody because of Obama tax. And basically, of course, 75% of the American people are going to be paying increased taxes. They're not telling you that. They're telling you, well, they're going to save the middle class. Ladies and gentlemen, the Obama tax is going to be about 3%. And it's going to be, certainly it's going to be tacked on to capital gains. It's going to be tacked on to the dividend tax. It's going to be tacked on to your social security, onto your income tax. Basically, they're not telling you about this massive increase in taxation. Oh, they said they're going to certainly protect the middle class. Ladies and gentlemen, they're going to wipe out the middle class, but they can't really come out and tell that. Give us a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. Love to hear from
you. Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done, get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today, 800-544-8927, 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap, it's a miracle.
For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
So you finally decided to start taking a vitamin supplement. Those chewables and tablets are fine if you don't mind paying for something that is only absorbed about 4 to 6%. However, a liquid supplement can have a 90% absorption rate if you choose the right one. Youngevity offers a wide variety of liquid supplements with a 90% absorption rate or more. Beyond Tangy Tangerine may be the best one ever invented. It starts as a liquid, then is freeze-dried like those instant coffees into a crystal. Then all you have to do is add a couple of scoops to water. No refrigeration, no fuss, no mess. Not only do you get a complete multiple vitamin, Beyond Tangy Tangerine also has minerals, and it tastes fantastic. You'll want to drink it all day long. So the next time you reach for a vitamin supplement, reach for Beyond Tangy Tangerine from Youngevity. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and this is Open Lines on Wednesday. Give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, and everybody's breathing a sigh of relief. We're not going over the cliff. Ladies and gentlemen, we're already over the cliff, and basically, of course, there's no way they can pay back this money. I said they tell us that the current debt is $16.38 trillion, within a matter of about a week or so. Why, of course, we're going to exceed the $16.4 trillion, and at that point we can't borrow any more money, and they can sort of juggle things around for a little while, but they're going to have to increase the debt level. What happens if they don't increase the debt level? We'd have to live within the amount of money coming in, but there's not enough money coming in to pay all the things. We're only taking in about $2.1 trillion, and certainly we're putting out about $3.5 or $3.6 trillion. And so basically you'd have $1.5 trillion with no money to pay the bills. And ladies and gentlemen, that's just what we should do. we should be in a situation where you don't have the money, you don't put it out. But do you think for 1 minute they're going to do what's logical? They're not going to do it until they absolutely have to. And, of course, basically, we can learn a lot from history. And I'll never forget about 25 years ago, reading about Uruguay, which was a wonderful country, a very prosperous economy, and they'd done very well for many years. They had all these wonderful socialist plans. And one of them, of course, was that if you got a job working for an industry, you could work for 10 years, and you could retire at half pay. Well, that was really wonderful. And basically, of course, this is you could have this sort of thing. And some government jobs today, you work for a short period of time, you can retire with a good pension after a short period of time. So basically, of course, the program had started 30 or 40 years before in Uruguay. And so everybody got a job. They worked for 10 years, and then they retired at half pay. They got another job, and then they worked for 10 years and retired at half pay. They got another job, and they worked for 10 years, retired at half pay. And here they could be 50 years old, and they would be receiving three pensions, and they would still have another 10 or 20 years to go. But basically, of course, what happened was the industry couldn't afford this. The industries, there is no way that they could possibly afford to pay certainly all of these pensions, and the industries went broke. The government went broke. They had to destroy the value of the currency. They had to start in all over again. This happened almost 30 years ago in Uruguay, and that's just exactly what is happening here in America. There are places in America you can go to work for the fire department when you're 20 years old. You can retire with your 50 with a pension, 90% of your benefits, and the highest amount of money you've ever gotten. And certainly, if the last year you didn't take any vacations, why, you can get your salary up to $150,000 or $200,000 a year. You get your health benefits for all the rest of your life. Our communities all across America are bankrupt. Basically, right now, communities all across America are borrowing money so they can fund their pensions. And basically, we have about $3.7 trillion in municipal bonded indebtedness. And a lot of that bonded indebtedness is simply so that they can actually continue paying their pensions. But ladies and gentlemen, someday when you borrow money, you have to pay it back, and you have to pay it back with interest. And many of our communities here in California, Stockton, Sacramento, Oakland, so these countries are all going bankrupt. It's only a matter of time. It's not a matter of if, but when. And the same thing is going to happen at the national level. Basically, there is no way we can ever pay back the $86 trillion, which John Williams points out that is the real debt if we were using the general accepted accounting principles, that GAAP principles. That is where debt would be. And instead of certainly having a deficit of $1.1 trillion, he calculated the real deficit this last year was actually about $5 trillion. But they're lying to you, ladies and gentlemen, because this is going to lead to the destruction of our economy. And that's just what the elitists want. They want to destroy our economy, to impoverish our people, and then enslave them. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY. It's open lines. We'll talk about whatever you want to. And right now we have Robert calling us from Washington State. Hi, Robert. Do you have a question or comment?
A couple questions.
Go right ahead.
What do you think that would look like if they did gun confiscation? I mean, in the practical manner, what would that look like?
It would look like a slave state to me, because basically they would simply pass a law. They would say, if you don't turn in your guns, we're going to put you in jail for 10 years and take away everything you have, turn in your guns. And I hope that the American people wouldn't go along with that. But we interviewed Larry Pratt from Gun Owners of America today, and I asked him the question, will they be able to get the legislation through? And he laughed and said, I do not think there's any way that they're going to get that legislation through. So let's hope and pray he's right.
Yeah, I guess I've been watching the news media because I am just concerned about it, and I'm watching them, and I'm just feeling all this pressure to propaganda.
But Robert, you know the media is controlled. I mean, it is all controlled. They've bought up 90 to 95% of the major outlets. And if you've never read the book by Professor Ben Bagdikian called The Media Monopoly, a wire fish, you can probably get it at the library. They've made it so that I would lose money if I tried to sell the book, because I'd lose money on every copy of it. But basically, They control largely what the American people think. Some of the newspapers and magazines pretend to be conservatives and others liberal, but they're playing a game with our minds. They're never telling us the real story, and basically they're trying to give us this idea there's nothing we can do about it. They're frightened to death that they're not going to be able to get the senators and congressmen to go, and we need to keep writing them and calling them and letting them know that if they vote for gun confiscation, that is the end of their political career.
Yeah, the polls, and, you know, taken for what they are, show that there's majority support for making some restrictions on the assault.
But who puts out those polls?
I understand, but you don't believe the polls.
I don't believe the polls. I believe it's all, Robert, it's all about controlling your reality. And until you understand the absolute control they have, it's almost impossible to get the truth about what's really going on, either domestically or internationally. And this is why, of course, we have contacts, and contacts we trust, and people, a few people we know we can depend on. One of them is Larry Pratt of Gun Owners for America. If you don't go to their website, they're well worthwhile. But I've known certainly the man who created that. His name was, I've known him for 50 years. And basically, the Gun Owners of America is a good organization. Most of our organizations, even conservative and liberal organizations, have been infiltrated. Bill Richardson formed Gun Owners of America 50 years ago, and he's done a great job with that organization. It's one
That's
of the few organizations I really trust.
I heard a great quote the other day. I have never heard it. I study history a lot. I've never heard this quote, but it said, when government fear the people, you have liberty. When people fear the government, you have tyranny. And isn't that the truth?
Amen to that. When guns are outlawed, only the outlaws will have guns. Ladies and gentlemen, it would be a total violation of the Second Amendment in any way to try to have the federal government restrict guns here in America. And what we need to do is get people to understand our Constitution and understand that our Congress has been taken over by subversive elements, and the people there who are taking oath, as they will in this next 2 days, to uphold the Constitution and support the Constitution and then violate it, they're subversives, and they ought to be arrested, convicted, and sent to prison.
Dr. Stan, I have a second question. What do you think, I mean, I think I'm pretty sure I know the answer to this, but in 2 months when the next debt ceiling deadline comes up, what do you think they're going to do?
Well, I think they're going to have a lot of, certainly, smoke and mirrors, a lot of staging, a lot of play acting, and they're going to be yelling at one another and making a big fuss. But basically, of course, I think what's basically in two months, why the first thing that's going to happen is that they're going to have to then start making the cuts in government programs. That was one of the things. Well, probably about $100 billion in government spending is supposed to be limited. At least that is the way that it was in the original agreement, with whatever, they may have made some changes in it over the weekend, but that was the way that it originally was. And they were going to actually eliminate about $109 billion in spending. I hope that they will do that. I think that they really are going to begin cutting back because basically they know they can't continue doing what they are doing, and they don't want to destroy America just yet. They want to bring austerity to our country. They want to lower our living standards, raise the price of the goods we have, and gradually certainly restrict the amount of money that people have to spend. And certainly this is a planned program all throughout the world for austerity. It's not just here. It's taking place in Europe. It's taking place in China. And this is the plan. It's austerity. And we're going to see this gradually taking place. As far as 2 months from now, there's going to be certainly several things that we're going to have to vote on, a new debt limit. I would hope that they would have the courage just to say, you can't raise the debt. You're going to have to live with what you've got. But I don't think they'll do that. I think they'll keep raising the debt level until eventually, of course, the whole thing goes bankrupt. But I think that, of course, we're going to see all sorts of programs on television telling us about the great fights that are going on in Washington, D.C., whereas the truth of the matter is the leadership of both political parties is going the same way. You saw that today when Bonner what I guess it was yesterday when he just knuckled under. Fortunately, they're getting rid of Boehner. I do not think he's going to continue being the Speaker of the House. I think they're going to get another Speaker in, and hopefully he'll be better than the last one. And hope maybe he'll have some American ideas rather than be willing to go along with the internationalists.
Well, I just don't see Thomas Jefferson had that great quote where he said, democracies last only until people realize they can vote themselves largesse. And once they realize that, it will be the politician promising the most who gets reelected. That's where we're at right now. And I don't see cuts happening. And I have a question for you. What do you think about, the Democrats seem to be crazy. I mean, the fly foxes here, they're saying, let's just print our way and spend our way into debt. And they're giving all these goodies to their constituents and getting reelected. And there are some responsible Republicans that are fighting the good fight. But it's just not going to happen, especially with the people of the United States who are, in my opinion, so stupid and ignorant as a rule. I'm thinking, why don't the Republicans say, yeah, let's just have a grand old party and just start going for it with their people as well. And in a lot of situations, they do.
Well, I think that we have some good people back there in Washington, D.C., and I think that Stockman is going to be there. He's coming from a very solid financial position, a good right-winger, and I think that there are a fair number of them. Certainly Tom Coburn is a good man. He's in the Senate. All we can do is try to educate the people, but remember, this is a spiritual battle, and everybody discounts God. What is God going to do? And I think God is going to intervene. I think he's already intervening. I just sort of, as Thomas Jefferson said, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, and his justice will not sleep forever. We're going to have to wait and see. We got another couple of calls. Thanks so much for calling, Robert.
Okay.
God bless, and let's go to Tim is calling from Illinois. Again, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Hi, Tim. How are we doing?
Oh, hi, Dr. Stan. Dr. Stan, there are several same-sex states now, same-sex marriage. You have Vermont, Rhode Island, Maine, New Hampshire, New York, Maryland, Massachusetts, and Connecticut. Practically all of our original 13 states here. But the latest study I have from a Christian website, RuthInstitute.org, you have Professor Ignarius from the University of Texas, and his study shows that the kids of these same-sex parents, they're being touched sexually and molested. We know that. And also associate of his, Douglas Allen, the data is there, over 1 million children, showing that kids are failing also. They're being held back a year, children of same-sex parents. So, I mean, these states that have passed these laws recently, the information's there and the data's there. They're just legalizing more children molestation here, I guess.
Well, I think, Tim, if you look and see what's going on, basically, imagine what God is thinking. I believe God is going to bring terrible judgment on America because our churches are allowing this. Our Christian ministers are going right along with this. They're not speaking out. I mean, a few of them are, and God love those who do. But the average minister is so wound up, in teaching the scriptures that he doesn't see how any of these things apply to what's going on today. We were put here for a purpose, and I believe our purpose is to certainly point out what's going on, to try to make this a better society, and try to bring people into a personal relationship with the Lord. If we do not have a great revival in America, Tim, America as we've known it is going to cease to exist. America came about because of a great revival back in the early 1700s, and there was a second great revival in the mid-1800s. We certainly need another one right now. Anything else, Tim?
Yes, Dr. Stan, I also felt ashamed of my country. First thing I thought of, how is God going to look at this? But I'd like to recommend a book. It's called Unaccountable by medical surgeon Marty McCary, surgeon at Johns Hopkins. He mentioned that the third cause of death in the U.S. are for medical mistakes. And he also mentioned, ask whenever you go into a hospital, inquire about a hospital's infection rate.
I think we should be concerned about all of these things, and I think it's only going to get worse the more government interferes with the practice of medicine. Okay.
And I have one other quick question, Dr.
Okay.
Stan. In November of 1950, the Korean War, a battle, it was called Fox Hill, where you had about 200 Marines, and all of a sudden, over the hill, come 10,000 Communist Chinese. Now, the Chinese military announced that their goal was to destroy the Marines. Now, I wanted to ask you, possibly, I'm sure we're still at war, basically, I believe, with China, Communist China.
No, we're still at war. Well, we've never been at war with Communist China. We're still at war with Korea.
Uh-huh.
All right, ahead, sir.
Well, I appreciate your time.
God bless. Thanks very much. Let's go to John.
Thanks.
He's calling us from Spokane. Hi, John. How are we doing?
Hi. Good. I've got a quick question for Dr. Blaylock.
I'm afraid Dr. Blaylock's not with us tonight. You must be hearing a rebroadcast from some other source.
Okay.
Are you getting a rebroadcast with Dr. Blaylock tonight?
Yeah, I'm up here in Spokane, and that's what I'm hearing.
Well, I'm afraid you're just stuck with me. It's open lines tonight. If you have something you'd like to talk about, I would love to talk to you. But I'm afraid that Dr. Blaylock's not with us, and I'll have to find out why they're playing Dr. Blaylock up there rather than playing me. Hold that thought.
Okay.
We'll be back in just a moment.
You already know that calcium is important, but did you know that calcium cannot be absorbed without magnesium? That's a fact, and the calcium that isn't absorbed calcifies your soft muscle tissues. Haven't you ever wondered what's really causing all your muscle aches? I'm Pat Sullivan, the founder of Jigsaw Health. I created Jigsaw Magnesium with SRT to solve my own magnesium deficiency problems. You see, magnesium helps people feel younger because magnesium keeps the soft tissues from calcifying. This helps you sleep better at night and feel more energized during the day. Call 888-352-5050 and we'll explain why Jigsaw Magnesium with sustained release technology is so much better than any drugstore magnesium supplement. Mention this radio ad and receive $5 off your order. 888-352-5050. JigsawMagnesium.com.
What has happened to the judicial system in these United States? From the Supreme Court to the smallest county seat, we've seen the judiciary make decisions which are more legislative than interpretive. The judicial system was designed to ensure that the laws of the land were just and constrained by our Constitution. Now judges have immunity and cannot be prosecuted when they act outside the law. This must stop. The judicial branch needs reform. We must pass laws which bring a renewed sense of justice to our nation's court system. I urge you to go to judicialreformnow.com. That's judicialreformnow.com. At that website, you can find out what's really going on in this area of lawlessness, and more importantly, you can find out what you can do to stem the tide of judicial malpractice. JudicialReformNow.com. JudicialReformNow.com.
Most men, when they reach 60 years of age, have urinary tract problems. They have to urinate frequently during the day, and they have to get up several times every night. What's the solution? Many men use a herbal product called Prostate Support. It contains saw palmetto and stinging thistle. It's available from Radio Liberty. Dr. Stan takes Prostate Support and recommends it. And thousands of men take Prostate Support every day because it relieves their urinary tract symptoms. If you would like to try Prostate Support, call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Once again, the telephone number for Prostate Support is 800-544-8927. And I suggest you call today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported, and if you're out there across America, why, give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927, if you're in a position to join the Radio Liberty family supporters or get our products or advertise with us or anything that you could do to help us, would appreciate. And if you're not in a position financially to help us, we would ask that you pray for Radio Liberty, you pray for our provision and for our protection. And then, of course, we hope that many of you will want to get some of the things that we have. Certainly, if you do not understand what is really going on as far as the danger of an electromagnetic pulse attack, we have certainly an excellent interview with Ambassador Henry Cooper. It's a talk he gave at the October 21st Radio Liberty Conference. It's just called EMP Attack. And we suggest you get this and understand there's a very real danger in America of an EMP attack. And if one were to take place, according to Dr. Cooper, I should say Ambassador Cooper, within 6 to 12 months, up to 80% of our population could be dead. Let me repeat that. There's a very real danger of an EMP attack. And within 6 to 12 months after an attack, up to 80% of the American population could be dead. This is not imaginary. This is really very real. You'll certainly want to hear his talk. This is the gentleman who is the American ambassador to the disarmament attacks with the Soviets all during the 1980s, 1990s. Ambassador Cooper's a personal friend. And I think you'll find his remarks fascinating. Then, of course, you'd certainly want to hear my talk on the Agenda 21. The covert plan, because there really is a covert plan that's being enacted at the present time. And the whole idea, of course, of Agenda 21 is to alter the structure of our society and to eliminate, certainly, the industrial foundation of modern society and move us back towards a simpler society, similar to the one that existed a century ago. And that may sound incredible. Why do you think, for instance, they are doing away with incandescent lights in America? Why are we actually replacing incandescent lights with fluorescent lights? Ladies and gentlemen, these are biohazards. You break one, they contain mercury in it. Very, very dangerous. And yet, of course, we're doing away with incandescent globes. Why? Because they want us to stop using so much electricity. Why do you think all this stress is on certainly getting us into electric cars? And then, of course, they want to raise the price of electricity because they want to get us out of our cars. And they certainly want to actually get us to a situation where they can keep us in some small area where, of course, we'll live there, we'll work there, we'll do our shopping there. They don't want us moving around. They want to control every aspect of our lives. This is all covered in Agenda 21, which is truly a diabolical plan to transform the world in which we live. The DVD Agenda 21, the covert plan, is available by calling 1-800-544-8927. And if you doubt, of course, that there is a plan to kill off most of the people in the world, you'll want to get this DVD, and we'll take you with us to Elberton, Georgia, where we've been. Of course, there they have this monument. It's like a Druid monument. It's actually put up by a secret society, and I think it was probably the Rosicrucians. And this monument, of course, talks about maintaining the population, the world population, at less than 500 million in constant balance with nature. That is Agenda 21, the covert plan. Certainly, we hope many of you want to get my talk on population control, the covert agenda. We hope that certainly you want to get something, our DVDs on the execution of Martin Luther King. This is a 4-CD set on the execution of Martin Luther King, a 4-CD set on the execution of Bobby Kennedy, a 4-CD set on the USS Liberty and the plan to kill all of the men on board and to sink a ship so we can get into a war. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, radioliberty.com, where you can listen to our programs 24 hours a day. And we hope that you will. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty.
While the storm clouds gather,
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that'll determine what the future will bring. And we need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Nani Darwish, who is a woman who was raised in Egyptian, raised as a Muslim, and eventually came to be a Christian, came to America, and is certainly heading a group of people of ex-Muslims in support of the State of Israel. Nani, thank you very much for being with us this evening.
My pleasure, Dr. Tan. Thank you for inviting me.
I don't know if you remember, but you were with us once or twice, a number of years ago, but you've written a new book, and we wanted to talk about this new book, and certainly because, of course, we are, I believe, moving into a position of conflict with the Muslim world. Certainly, top country after country up there has been toppled. Certainly, Turkey turned from a secular state into a state under the control of the Muslim Brotherhood, as has Lebanon, certainly Egypt, Tunisia, Libya, now Syria, and certainly now we know that both Afghanistan and Iraq have been established governments with Sharia law as the religion there. Of course, that was put in by the American military, which doesn't make sense, but so much of what's going on doesn't make sense. But why don't you tell us about your book and basically what you have learned, what you know, having been a Muslim, and how this will impact upon the unfolding events we're going to see in the next few years. You go right ahead.
Yes. The one thing that Americans really need to know is that all religions are not equal. And unfortunately, our Constitution treats all religions equally. And this, in my opinion, is the main point of the problem in America. We welcomed a large number of new immigrants who are Muslims, and we are giving them, under the Constitution, equal rights to practice their religion, which is the ethical and moral thing to do. However, we don't understand that not every ideology that calls itself religion has the same virtues and morals and as the Judeo-Christian culture. The problem with Islam is it is more of a political ideology than a religion. It's more of a legal system than a religion. And wherever Islam went, it brought with it turmoil, chaos, threats to the government, threats to the individual. Wherever Islam went, it brought devastation and to order, to law and order. And eventually, when it has enough population, large enough population of Muslims, wherever Muslims went, whether it's India, even in the Philippines, in Chechnya, the end result is at the end they fight with the culture of the larger culture, and eventually they demand a separatist movement. And this is the sad story of Islam wherever it goes.
All right. Well, Kirsten, I think that people here in America are going to have to really understand what the Islamic religion is. There are areas, certainly, in the United States that are predominantly Muslim. It really is not very, very safe to be going into there. I know, certainly over in England, many times the police are afraid to go into the Muslim enclaves. In London itself, this is the situation I can see eventually developing here in America. But the average American, in the name of fairness, certainly thinks, well, everybody has a right to their religion. But this is not a religion like Christianity. It's entirely different. We'll be back in a moment. Nani, you go right ahead.
Sure. Oh, is it? Are we on?
We are on. You go right ahead.
Sure. When the Arab, well, so-called Arab Spring happened, when all these revolutions started, a lot of Western culture, media, politicians thought, oh, finally the Arab people are waking up to, they really want change, they want democracy and freedom and a different way of life. They didn't really go deep in the culture to understand that the idea of having a revolution is nothing new in the Muslim world. There is every 50 or 60 years, in almost all Muslim countries, there is a revolution. Egypt, for instance, had a 1919 revolution, a 1952 revolution, and a 2011 revolution. And all of these revolutions wanted to assert freedom, democracy. In the 1952 revolution, after which I was a child in Egypt, Gamal Abdel Nasser, the president of Egypt who led that 52 revolution, he went to Tahrir Square, that same square where the current revolution happened. And at that time, it was called Ismailia Square. And he declared that this square is going to be called Tahrir, meaning freedom square. And he vowed that he's going to bring freedom and democracy. And what happened is due to Islam and due to the tyranny of Islam and the horrific culture that has no value to human rights and to the kind of constitution that we have in America, because this is rejected under Islamic law. This revolution brought with it one of the most oppressive periods of modern Egyptian history, and I lived as a child and a young adult in Egypt and suffered the horrific impacts of suppression of human rights, suppression of women's rights, and eventually the Muslim Brotherhood wanted to assassinate Gamal Abdel Nasser, and he had to put them in jail. And the same story keeps repeating itself, and it's a fight between human yearning for freedom and Islam.
Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Nani is simply pointing out the fact that basically, of course, we hear a lot of talk about the Arab Spring and about this idea for desire for democracy, but people don't understand that certainly there are many Muslims who would like to have freedom, but of course you can't have freedom and certainly a Sharia law. The two are incompatible because Sharia law puts the power certainly under the religious segment of society. And basically, Nani had actually lived in Egypt. When you were growing up in Egypt, did they have Sharia law? Did they have the influence of the Muslim Brotherhood, or were they simply?
Oh, absolutely. One thing a lot of people also in the West don't understand is that Sharia law, it doesn't really matter if it's applied by the government or not. It exists. It exists in all the countries that have majority or even a good number of Muslims. The problem with Sharia is it gives the right to the man on the street to apply it. So if you live among majority Muslims, you will, whether you like it or not, will live under Sharia, because there are certain murders that are a Muslim is forgiven if he does it to apply Sharia. For instance, killing an apostate. So the fear of blasphemy laws under Sharia or apostasy laws, which is punishable by death. If you're a citizen in a Muslim country and you're a Christian or even a Muslim and you criticize Islam in a very mild manner, that is a crime under Sharia called blasphemy. And that can give the right to your neighbor to kill you. Not just the government, or the police who can enforce Sharia. If the government police do not enforce Sharia, Sharia gives the right to the man on the street.
What about the rights of women under Sharia law? What happens to the rights of women under Sharia law?
Well, women have a totally different set of laws to live under from men. Their freedom is very, very limited. And believe it or not, Dr. Stan, I just saw a video today on the internet, and it is a religious leader in Syria who is giving the mujahideen who are fighting Assad the right to actually, they call it marry any girl over 14 for a few hours. And that girl will guarantee going to heaven because she's doing a service to the mujahideen. So, in other words, he is doing a fatwa allowing the soldiers of jihad to rape girls over 14, and those girls are going to be promised heaven because they are fulfilling the needs of the terrorists. So women are considered less than animals in some instances. And when I saw that fatwa, and that religious man was actually quoting from the holy books of Islam to support his views. And
it's so different. It's so foreign to what we have here in America. In fact, it must have been quite a revelation for you to coming from Egypt to coming to America, where, of course, here, of course, women have all the equal rights to men, and certainly they have a very, very important, vital part in our society, and they can certainly do anything a man can do for us.
Exactly, and this goes back not to the feminist movement in America, that goes back to the Judeo-Christian culture, where Christianity and Christ and the Bible was responsible for the most civilizing law in the Bible, which is one man, one woman. Marriage is between one man and one woman. That doesn't exist in Islam, and because the Bible gave this, this is a gift for women and for families and for children, to assign one man, one woman, at least at one time of, at one period of marriage, at a time, and one set of family at a time. And that is the most, in my opinion, the reason behind Western civilization. Because when women are given security to bring up their kids, children, with the support of one man to that family, it started the process of civilization. And that is what the feminists in America don't understand. And I hope that those who want to change the meaning of marriage, in the biblical meaning of marriage in America, are listening. Because the minute we change the biblical meaning of marriage, we can change the basis of women's rights and freedom and liberty and human dignity and stability, family stability in this country.
Well, now, basically, what do you foresee taking place over there in Egypt today? Now, it looks like the Muslim Brotherhood under Morsi will be taking power, and certainly with Tunisia, with Libya, all of these countries looks to me like they're going under the control of the Muslim Brotherhood and radical Islam. What are your thoughts?
My thoughts are, let's not be deceived about that there is a pool of the Egyptian population that wants tyranny through. I have not seen a sign when I was looking at the Tahrir Square during all the riots, even the recent ones, I never saw anyone openly say that our problem is Sharia and we have to end Sharia and make religion a personal matter that has nothing to do with enforcing legal the laws on people, because Egypt has a large population, Christian population, that must abide by Sharia. So so I did not see the people who call themselves reformists. Unfortunately, there are those who are against the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt, but they accuse the Muslim Brotherhood of not being misrepresenting Islam, which is a denial of the truth. The Muslim Brotherhood is representing Islam. So in order for them to avoid being called apostates and blasphemers, they don't want to touch the truth. So they live in a big lie that the Muslim Brotherhood are really not good Muslims.
Well, now, are the Christians fleeing Egypt today? Are they trying to get out of Egypt as much as they can? I suppose those are Coptic Christians, aren't they?
Yes, and they are. There is a huge number of Coptic Christians who left Egypt ever since the revolution. It's been now almost 2 years. January 25th is going to be 2 years, and in the first year of the revolution, over 100,000 Coptic has left the country, and I'm sure it's a lot more than that now.
My understanding, though, was an awful lot of them went off to Syria, and they're being trapped in this horrible conflict going over there at the present time. Is that true?
Yes, I'm sure, because a lot of Egyptians, Coptics, you know, America cannot absorb all these millions. Unfortunately, I tried to help a few by sending them an invitation to come to America, and some of them are actually apostates who left Islam, and they have become Christian, trying to help them to escape because they're under death penalty, and they go to American embassy, and they wrote to me that they've been denied because they've never left the country before, and they say, and surprisingly, we see Islam the visas and leaving to America. With beard and with a hijab. So an American embassy in Cairo is giving a lot of visas to people who should not really come to America, and they are denying people who should be coming to America.
Well, it's such a tragic, tragic situation. Well, basically, of course, what is the message of your book? What are you trying to teach us about the Muslim faith, which most people really don't understand?
Well, I wrote my book called The Devil We Don't Know, The Dark Side of Revolutions in the Middle East. And in it, the purpose of me writing books is really to be aware that, number one, that not all religions are not equal, that there are bad religions and there are good religions. There are religions that live in harmony in America with the rest of the population, and they don't have an agenda to take over the government.
Well, of course, basically with the Muslim faith, they do have an agenda. That is what they really want. And they want the whole world to be under Muslim rule. Our telephone number, if you have a question or comment, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or 4295, if you have a question or comment for Nani Darwish. But she's been on the front line of this battle. I guess we've known. How long have you been here? We talked to you.
In the United States? I've lived in the United States for 34 years now.
We have. Okay, fine. Because I think probably 8 to 10 years ago we had viewed you. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or 464-295 if you have a question or comment. But Nani certainly understands the problems and is trying to make people understand them. All right, Nani. Well, basically, Chris, I interrupted you. You were telling us a little about the Muslim faith and really how, like other religions, they really do want to be in control or have the Sharia law practiced universally. Would that be a fair statement?
Absolutely. And you see, something that's very unique about Islam that that the American people need to be aware of also, is that Christianity spread through trying to reach the hearts and minds of people, but through preaching, right? Islam reaches the people from the top, from the government. It's enforced through the government. So it's a completely different way of spread around the world. It does not spread through grassroots, through like Christianity. It spreads through government enforcement. And this is how Islam spread, by conquest, military conquest, forcing it from the top to the bottom through government enforcement and fear. And also through taxation. People who stayed, when Egypt was conquered in the 7th century, the Arabian Peninsula conquered Egypt and Persia in the same year, and they tortured several villages and converted by force through the government. They tortured the priests and converted many, many churches into mosques. Egypt used to be a Christian nation. And what happened is it was a part of the Byzantine Empire, and Egypt was conquered from the top, bottom. They forced on the Coptic Christian way of taxation, took a lot of the wealth of Egypt back to Mecca and Medina, and made Egyptians ashamed of their own pyramids and their own ancient Egyptian history. And they told them that your ancient Egyptian history is paganism, and you... your Christianity has been bad, and if you want to continue believing in Christianity, you have to pay us extra taxes as second class citizens. Many Egyptians converted to Islam to avoid paying the taxes to the government, and the ones that remained were the wealthier ones. And that is how Islam spread. Enforcement from the top to the bottom. And this is the sad thing. That's why when the first congressman in America was elected, he was the first Muslim congressman. He was from Minnesota. I can't remember his name. But the night he was elected, there were cries of Allahu Akbar in his celebration party for winning to become the first Muslim congressman in the U.S. Capitol, on Capitol Hill. And this is the cry of triumph, that we are penetrating the government. You don't hear something like that from Hindus in America. You don't see something like that from any other religion that came through immigration to America.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment or two. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Nani was simply just giving us the history of basically, of course, what happened. It was about the 700s AD when, of course, Egypt was conquered by the Muslims. And basically, of course, they said to the people, you will have to, if you're not a Muslim, you're going to have to pay taxes. So a lot of the Christians there converted to the Muslim faith simply so they wouldn't have to pay the taxes. There were some very, very wealthy Christians, and they stayed on there. But suddenly Egypt was brought under Muslim rule and has been under Muslim rule ever since then. Yes, with the Coptic Christians in Muslim state, but they're always second-class citizens. This is the tragedy.
Exactly, and there was only a period of about 70 years in which Jews and Christians lived in relative equality, and that was when in the early 20th century and the late 19th century, and that was when the British and the French were in the Arab world. Well, that was the period of colonialism in which the Jews lived in relative peace, the Christians lived in relative peace, because Islam at that time weakened and was, the Ottoman Empire was weakened and destroyed completely. And at that time was the only time in the history of the area where non-Muslims became relatively living in relative peace with Muslims. But unfortunately, in the mid-20th century, when the British started leaving and the oil money empowered Arabia and the Gulf states and the Saudi Arabia, that's when radical Islam came back to the whole world with vengeance. And that's when the non-Muslims in the region started running away again. And to a large extent, the reason radical Islam was empowered after the British and the French left was because oil money. We stopped drilling in the West. We stopped exploring or building any kind of oil-related businesses in the West, relying on importing it from these nations that were taking our dollars to expand Islam and to build mosques all over Europe and all over America. So in an indirect way, we have empowered the impact of Islam in the West through our refusal to drill for oil in our area of the world and to it self-inflicted disaster here in the West when the far left in the West would rather empower our enemies with our dollars rather than drill for oil, which is there's nothing wrong with drilling for oil if we need it. It doesn't hurt the environment. The Saudi Arabian lifespan has multiplied after till recently. Their land is clean and their seas are clean and their oceans are clean. So I don't understand why the environmentalists are hurting America and hurting Western civilization, hurting the Judeo-Christian culture by empowering Islam in such a way.
Well, I will tell you the reason for it is, of course, there is a plan, there's a timetable, and basically, of course, we have been, as you point out, keeping the Saudis and some of the oil sheiks in power. Now, of course, they are going to change that. They're going to start allowing a development of our oil and gas facilities, which we've had all this time. But, of course, this will be, they will be coming on board after the coming war with the Muslim world, ladies and gentlemen. The war with the Muslim world is coming. I have no question at all about it. Who do you think is funding of this civil war over there in Syria? Do you think that they are collecting?
It's Al-Qaeda.
What?
This civil war in Syria is Al-Qaeda.
Right, but where does Al-Qaeda get their money?
From Arab money. Where do you think? I mean, Al-Qaeda, they all, every penny that is collected for charity under Islam, a portion of it has to go to jihad. This is part of the Sharia. So all these, and then there's double talk from every government. There's double talk. They want to do jihad. They want to remove all these so-called non-Islamic states and replace it with Islamic states like Saudi Arabia.
Well, I think we're moving into some very, very difficult times, and I think the average American really doesn't understand the true nature of the Muslim enemy that we are going to be increasingly facing. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And when we get back, if you have a question or comment for our special guest, Nani Darwish, she's very well informed. She was raised in Egypt because she's lived here in America for many years. She's written a number of books, and we'll tell you how to get her latest book on the Muslim threat to America. Believe me, it is a very real threat.
The storm cloud gathers far across the sea. Let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices,
stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above. From the mountain to the prairie, to the ocean white with gold. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above. From
don't be late.
No. Why with
God bless America, my home.
Right, Pop? Right, son.
Stand back here, our guest this evening, Nani Tarwish. And of course, she is born and raised in Egypt and eventually came to the United States. And she's written extensively about the very real threat we face today from the Muslim religion, which most Americans really don't understand. Our telephone number, if you have a question for Nani, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But before we go on, Nani, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get to your website, get more information from you, and how they can get a copy of your book or books. Go ahead.
Sure. I have 3 books so far, and they're all on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. I have two websites, formermuslimsunited.org, and arabsforisrael.com.
All right, fine. And basically, of course, I think it's vitally important that people understand that Israel certainly is under attack today, and there's going to be very, very difficult times for the Israeli people, I believe, now that certainly Egypt is no longer in the secular hands. You may not like Mubarak, but at least he maintained the peace there between Egypt and Israel. And now, of course, with Morsi, and most people don't know where Morsi went to school, the new premier, a dictator of Egypt. And, of course, what people don't understand is he was trained right there where so many of the other dictators were trained, right at the University of Southern California. People don't understand that nothing is it appears to be. Well, certainly so many of these people over there simply have had their education here in the United States. But certainly, well, basically now, how can people get hold of your book? What is the title of your latest book?
I have my 3 books. The first one is called Now They Call Me Infidel, Why I Renounced Jihad for America, Israel, and the War on Terror. And the second one is about Sharia law, Islamic law, and it's called the Cruel and Usual Punishment, the Terrifying Global Implications of Islamic Law.
Cruel and Unusual Punishment.
No, unusual.
Right.
But not unusual. It's Cruel and Usual Punishment. And the reason I called it this way, because Sharia law is opposite to our constitution. And in it, I proved it, and never to take it, to accept it as it's not a legal right, it's not a religious right, to any Muslim who comes here, because it's opposite to our constitution and our Bill of Rights. And we have to never, ever accept it as something that anyone should practice. In America.
Well, how could they possibly think that they would ever be able to impose Sharia law in the United States? Do they hope to impose it in the
areas? That's like what they did in India, in Chechnya. What happens, and it happens, this is my prediction. When Islam went to India, it caused one of the most, millions were killed, millions of Hindus were killed. And the Muslims expanded in a very large number. They became a very powerful minority. And then eventually they caused so much terrorism and chaos in the country that India had to give them a part of itself, because they demanded a separatist movement. Either you give us Sharia law or you give us a separatist movement. And that's what happened. So India split itself to another country, called it Pakistan, and told them, okay, you can have part of this country and leave us alone. What happened? They took Pakistan, and they're still doing terrorism until today inside India, because when you give them an inch, they want a more. And what happened? They're already fighting them over Kashmir now, and they're already blowing up hotels and trains and infrastructure inside India. The minute you bring in this virus, it never ends. And it's the same thing is happening in every minority, wherever minority Muslims go. Chechnya is another example in Russia, and Kosovo in Eastern Europe, and the turmoil never ends. Wherever Islam goes, the turmoil will never end. And this is what I don't want to see in America. We could have a Chechnya in France in another 10 years, whereby an area of the country is predominantly Muslim, and they will say, we want Sharia law here. And the French government will say, no, you're not going to get Sharia law there. Okay, we're going to have a separatist movement. We don't want to belong to you. And then they'll find, blowing up theaters, schools, you name it. And it will be forever. Forever. Never ending. Same thing can happen in England. And it can happen in America.
Yes, I've heard that there are parts of London that are so deeply infested with Muslim faith that the police won't go in there. They're frankly afraid to go in because of the violence.
Exactly. And what happens is, they are starting to mistreat the British people, to silence them, and in order for Muslims not to riot. They are telling the British people, whenever the Muslims do to you, don't object, don't criticize Islam, because we don't want to have upset them. And this is what happens. When you allow the infestation to come into your country, that's what happens. They want to penetrate the government, they want to take over, they want to change your laws, it's a never-ending pushing of the envelope.
And I think most Americans don't understand there really are, of course, Muslim schools in America. They're the so-called Gulen schools. Oh, at least 150 of them across America, where they're teaching, of course, the Muslim faith and what a wonderful society things were under the Ottoman Empire. They're all funded, of course, by your tax money. They have literally thousands of those all throughout the Near East and the Middle East. They're so-called Gulen schools. Gulen is one of the wealthiest men in America. You've never heard of him, of course.
Yeah, why is he wealthy?
Do you know who Gulen is?
Where did he get his money from? Probably the same source where Al-Qaeda gets their money.
All right, fine. That is Gulen. We can talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, this is where the jihadists, like I said, any money that goes for charity in Islam, a portion of it goes for the expansion of Islam. and he gets all these billions, God knows from where. This was a man, an ordinary Turkish citizen who was in jail for a while, came to America and has billions. Where did he get this billion? Why is the American government allowing this?
Well, that would be a whole program right just there.
Yeah.
But since
you're
Mr. Gulen, G-U-L-E-N, ladies and gentlemen, look him up on the internet and ask we're talking about a fortune of $35 billion. Why don't we ever write about it? Why don't we ever read about it in the New York Times, the Washington Post, or the Denver Post?
I'm not saying he's getting the money illegally. He probably got them illegally, but the problem is who is giving it to him and for what purpose?
Oh, right. Well, we'll have to put you in touch with Mr. Paul Williams, who researched that, but that's for another subject for another night. Our telephone number, if you're out there in the listening audience, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And I'm certainly pleased that Darwish knows about Mr. Gulen. Most Americans have never heard of one of the richest men in America, one of the most powerful men in America. And nobody ever asked where does money come from or why does he have so much power here in the United States?
The politicians are happy to have him probably because you never know what's the deal between him and the politicians and the people who are giving him all these, authority to do all this, what's going on. I mean, I don't see public schools run by Christians in America. So I don't understand why a Muslim is running public schools in America.
That a Muslim is running public schools in America. His name is Gulen.
Yep.
Ladies and gentlemen, our telephone number 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And my understanding certainly is that certainly there are areas there in Michigan where they have a fairly large Muslim enclaves. Is that true?
The Michigan, Dearborn especially, has a huge Arab population.
Well, now, are there any of the Arabs there that don't want to go along with us, that really do want to live in America and do want to be Americans?
There is a lot, but they don't stand up. The problem with these Arabs who don't who love America, the problem with them is they're very afraid of making their views public. They don't stand up to the Islamists. And they cover up for them. They often defend them. They often give them excuses. And they're enablers. Just like our politicians are enablers of the radicals and the far leftists.
Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 if you have a question or comment. But we are going to see increasing conflict with the Muslim countries here in the coming months and coming years. Do you foresee a conflict of some sort with the Muslim world? What are your thoughts on that, Nani?
I foresee a conflict within Islam because as you see, there's a lot of civil wars going on now. Look what's happening in Syria and Egypt and Tunisia and Libya. There is government within the government and God knows all this turmoil and chaos that's happening is going to spill, of course, in other parts of the world. The United States, frankly, should not be on one side or the other because, in my opinion, none of them is worth defending, really. And why should we send our boys to die for a nation that's going to adopt the Sharia anyway in the future, like Iraq? We gave them freedom. We liberated them from their tyrant. And look what's happened. Their constitution is totally pro-Sharia now. I don't think we got a thank you from anybody about what we did in Iraq. So America has to stop defending one side or the other in the Muslim world because they need to learn from their own mistakes. And every time we go to save them, we prevent them from knowing what who the real enemy is. When Iraq conquered Kuwait and raped the women and killed many people, and all the emirs of Kuwait and all the ruling class fled to Saudi Arabia. What happened? They called America to defend them and bring them their country back. And we killed our young men to give back Kuwait to the Kuwaitis and started this process of going into Iraq and to destroy this dictator. But what happened? Do we have a country that loves us in Iraq? No. They have a constitution for Sharia, and there are many, many Iraqis today who are actually denying, the values that America brought to them, and we have to allow them to know, to suffer from their own mistakes and fix it themselves. America did not need to go and die to give Kuwait back to the Kuwaitis.
Well, now, basically, of course, in Iraq today, we hear there's a lot of conflict between the Shia Muslims and the Sunni Muslims. Is that really the basis of the conflict and all the violence that's going on in Iraq today, or are there other forces at work?
Of course, there is. All the sects in Islam fight each other and want to kill each other. That's something. And it doesn't mean one is right and one is wrong there. But Islam is a very conflict-oriented, and if even in Sunni Islam, which is in Egypt, totally Sunni, there's still a lot of conflict. And same thing with Libya and Tunisia. There is no Sunni and Shia there. They're all Sunnis, and there's still conflict. So, if I were an American, I really wouldn't care if they're Sunni or Shia, because they're both radical. They're both radical. It's not a choice between good and bad. It's a choice between just two sects that both hate us, and they hate each other, and they want to kill each other and destroy freedom and democracy. Osama bin Laden, he was Sunni, and Ahmadinejad is Shiite. Both are evil people. To America, they're both bad.
Well, I think that basically, of course, we have terrible, terrible problems over there. I'm very, very concerned about our relationships as far as Iran is concerned. What do you foresee happening as far as Israel and Iran and the United States and Iran?
Well, my fear is that the United States under Obama is weakening America. It's weakening its respect internationally. It's weakening our ties to Israel, our support of Israel. And unfortunately, the international respect of the United States power is dissolving, and they regard us as a paper tiger. Yes, you're a super power, but you cannot use your power against us. So, and it's true. So, can the United States stand up to Iran if Iran flexes muscle and does acquire nuclear weapons? Under Obama, I don't think we're going to do anything, and we have four more years for them now to experiment, and until it gets, I'm not sure if Israel is secure under Obama either, and I'm not even sure if Israel defends itself by trying to destroy the nuclear weapons in Iran, if the Obama administration will stand by Israel.
Well,
I think he might pretend he's standing by them, but I don't think he actually will be serious about it.
Well, I think that basically we've got 3 or 4 months here before they wrap things up over in Syria, somewhere between 2 and 4 months. And when they do that, of course, then I think that there is going to be moved to take on Iran. I don't know how it's going to work, but I'm very, very concerned that we are going to become involved in some sort of conflict, or Israel will become involved in a conflict with Iran. It's not a matter of if, but when. Our guest has been Cindy Nani Darwish, her book, Cruel and Usual Punishment. cruel and usual punishment, and certainly we're certainly apparently.
And the third book is The Devil We Don't Know.
The Devil We Don't Know. Okay, fine. Well, I certainly could look at Nani Darwish up on the internet to get the books, and certainly you can order them to Amazon, the Barnes and Nobles, and the other place. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, Nani, we've got 3 minutes for you to wrap up the program.
Yes.
What thoughts would you like to leave with our listeners out across America, indeed out across the world?
Well, Americans must demand better from their media, and I thank God for shows like yours, Dr. Stan, who are talking the truth, speaking the truth to the American people, because the American people are not stupid. They know they are very smart people. The problem is they are relying on the media that's really they are in treason. They are not serving them well, and unfortunately, that our politicians in general are want to stay in power, so they will do anything to stay in power. They will appease Islam to stay in power. They'll appease whoever's powerful, and Islam is very powerful these days because of the oil money, and unfortunately, our media is not exposing this. They have become a branch of the government. And look at CNN. CNN has shows that are, I mean, if you've got CNN, you will see a show called names that are in the White House, the Situation Room. Yeah, there's a show on CNN called The Situation Room. This is the Situation Room is in the White House. So they consider themselves the White House. And then there is another show on CNN that is called The State of the Union. So they are practically, you know, stealing the topics of the president and making it their own. They think of themselves as a branch of the government, and they are not becoming independent of government, trying to expose the government. They have become part and parcel and covering up for the government and becoming them, self-becoming government. So I think the American people should demand better from the media to cover up. They are covering up the Benghazi scandal. It's only Fox that's talking about it, and the American people are the victims of their own media and their own government.
I agree with you totally, and certainly what we need is to get the information out, and I really appreciate so much you being willing to come on with us, especially at this late hour of night, but you've done a wonderful job. We've really enjoyed having you as a guest here, and hope that we can perhaps get you a guest on some of our other programs. Our guest has been Nani Darwish. Good night, and God bless. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Hope you enjoyed the conversation with Nani Darwish. Now, get in the background of a Gulen who, of course, has $35 billion. Where did he get the money from? He got it from the CIA, from the CIA drug money. And he is, of course, building up the Muslim faith throughout the world. Who do you think is financing the Muslim Brotherhood? We carry a book called The Devil's Game. The Devil's Game, you should get it, goes into the fact that it was British intelligence who organized the Muslim Brotherhood back in 1928, the CIA picked it up after the Second World War, were financing the Muslim Brotherhood. This is the best enemy money could buy. And you say, that's crazy. Well, you need to get my interviews with Paul Williams. They're available from Radio Liberty. He is an independent investigative reporter who's done a lot of work. And they have their training camps all over America, about 45 to 50 of them, Islamic radical training camps here in the United States, where they're training ex-criminals who converted to the Muslim faith in our prisons and military action. And who's funding them? Why, the same people. We're creating the best enemy money could buy to create social unrest here in America. How do we understand this? Well, we understand it by reading my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. It goes into the background of how we funded communism in Russia, the best enemy money could buy, how we funded, certainly, communism in China, helped the Chinese communists take over there. They didn't win the revolution. They didn't win the war. They were installed there by our state government, the best enemy money could buy. Well, you need to see my talk. It's called The World Revolution. You'll see my interview with Ambassador Earl T. Smith, the American ambassador to Cuba at the time, when the United States State Department installed Fidel Castro. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we installed Fidel Castro. He didn't win the revolution. He didn't suddenly conquer the enemy. We installed him knowing it was a communist. Why? Because you need enemies if you're going to have certainly rally the people behind the government. And we look to the government to protect us from the wicked Fidel Castro, who is a good friend of David Rockefeller's daughters. If you doubt that, you need to get David Rockefeller's memoirs. You can get that from Radio Liberty. You can get those memoirs by David Rockefeller. And he'll tell you there about the secret cabal that runs the world. He's part of, that's page 405. But you're never going to hear this talked on other radio stations. Well, Dan Beck did bring this up just before they fired him from Fox. You need, of course, to get certainly on my talk on the World Revolution. You need to certainly read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to get David Rockefeller's book, memoirs. You need to get Barry Goldwater's book with no apologies. We have secondhand copies. There he tells you about this secret group created by David Rockefeller. This is on page 280. He will tell you their goal is to take over the political and economic control of the world by first seizing control of the government of the United States. Those are Barry Goldwater's words. By first seizing control of the government of the United States. How could that be? Well, basically, it's exactly what's happened. The rest of that chapter, from page 280 to the end of the chapter, he tells you how they're going to take over control of our churches and control of our industries and our banking and our media. And they've done just exactly that. And the fact most people don't understand that is simply a reflection of the degree of control that exists today over what the American people think. Now, I do want to comment that we're trying to get our book, Brotherhood of Darkness, reprinted. And basically, ordinarily, it goes for $12.95. You can get it for less than $2.40 a copy if you buy a case. 64 copies for $150. You can give them away. Or you certainly you can lend them out. You can do whatever you want to. You can sell them. But the important thing is people get the message. This book will transform their lives. Many people and key people I know have read this book. And it has changed their whole outlook on the world. Maybe not right away, but the thinking about it down the line, of course, their lives have been transformed. So you can get a case of Brotherhood of Darkness by calling 1-800-544-8927. It'll help us, but it will help you to reach others. And then again, our webpage is radioliberty.com. You can listen to us on the internet, iPad, for 24 hours a day by cell phone. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. For a land so fair, as we raise our voices in a solemn prayer. God bless
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour. It is 2 January 2013. Can you believe it? Thank you so much for joining us today. Bearing with us over the last week and a half, or 2 weeks, it has been a time of revival. I want to say that for myself, and I think for everyone else at the Power Hour. It took some time off at the end of the year to be able to rethink what it is that we're doing, where we're going, and how we're going to get there. And I know many of you have been doing the same thing, watching the emails, seeing what's out there from the standpoint of what people are concerned about. Well, obviously, it is gun control. I mean, without a doubt, that's the number one topic among those people that understand what's going on is gun control. When will it happen? How will it happen? And what are we going to do in reaction to this? So we need to talk about getting together, staying together. I was talking to our producer, Aaron, about